For those of you that I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Alfred Murillo, and I get to have the privilege of sharing the Word of God today and being here with all of you. I believe that God is going to do something great in our lives. I always have this expectation and knowing that as we dive into God's Word, that it's just only but good things can come out of that. Even though at times the Word of God, at times may be feeling like it's like more of a hallelujah, it's more like an ow, and more like, oh man. But at the same time, it's all for our good and to see what God is doing in our lives at this point. The last time I had a chance to be here was back on Father's Day. And since then, it's been very, very busy as our family are missionaries. And I'm sharing this for those that don't know us. And as we have been ministering in the neighborhoods here, been hosting a lot of different teams. I've got a team in this morning. And they're currently at a location. We'll be also be doing a big outreach with the parade tomorrow morning. And so if any of you want to join me with the parade, that would be great. Love to have you guys come out. We'll be passing out flyers and water and ministering and kind of a little mini concert there right on helping one of the churches there in the neighborhood. And so, again, speak with me afterwards and we'll go from there. Come August, we'll be having a bunch of bigger events going on. And I encourage you guys to get involved if you'd like to say, hey, how can we be a part in blessing the kids with backpacks and school supplies and just trying to do what we can to minister to the kids within our neighborhoods and our community. I shared with you earlier just a prayer request and a thank you for in reference, always praying for my family. We had gone to California for the reason that my uncle had passed. And my uncle was one that he died at the age of 88. Unfortunately, he had a heart attack and he passed away. But to be there amongst all my cousins and to see just the love and the admiration all of them had for their dad and just the opportunity, again, just to see that. It's just probably the most elaborate funeral that I had ever been a part of. And I've been to many funerals as a minister. But this was one where they didn't hold anything back. I mean, they went all out. And so my uncle, being born and raised in Mexico, was raised in a small town. But at the same time, he was one that got involved in horses at an early age. So much so that at 16, the people from the professional rodeos wanted to recruit him because how well he was with horses. When he moved to the Bay Area and became an American citizen and moved here, and he ended up getting involved in concrete for 40 plus years in the concrete business. And it was one, many of times, as many of us reflected back to look and on his life and how he was one to always teach all the nephews and nieces and everybody about cement work. But it was always the guys, the boys that would go out to go help him at times. And I don't know if any of you ever done cement work. I mean, we're talking about where you're actually mixing it yourself and you're actually pouring and with wheelbarrows. And it was something else. And how many times and how patient he was as we were little kids lifting those wheelbarrows and sure enough, you know, seeing everything just spill right over. And he would be gracious enough to yell at us, but at the same time help us pick it back up. But he would not let us, you know, cry and run off or whatever. He'd, no, get back up, get back in there and do that. Being raised without a father, I was always appreciative of my uncles always being there and helping us out. My cousins honored him by not only just having the ceremony. It was a hybrid ceremony, and I mentioned my family is mostly Catholic, and then myself being evangelical, and my brother being able, we were able to share as well. And so this I refer to it as a hybrid service. We were kind of mixing back and forth between the priest and ourselves, and going back and forth. But they had the doves, and I know many of you have probably been to a funeral where they have doves. And, you know, every grandchild had a dove in their hand. And when they let them go, that was a beautiful thing. You know, in other settings, you've seen probably balloons or anything, maybe a military, the gun salute. In the Mexican culture, and being that he was from Mexico and loved the mariachi music. So sure enough, I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral where they have mariachis. And so that is that was really powerful for all of us growing up and knowing the music of my grandfather and my older uncles and all of them, how they would listen to that music. I know a lot of you may listen when you go to visit a Mexican restaurant or so and you hear it in the background, But when it becomes a part of your culture and it's something, yeah, I don't know if you know this or not, but a little confession here that I one time was one that dressed like a mariachi and did the Mexican folk dancing. And so, and no, I will not display that for you here. And so, but that was a dream of mine at one time. I actually played trumpet for 2 years for the reason, fifth and sixth grade, that I wanted to be a mariachi. Now, being away from all that for so long and then to come back into it again, it was so powerful. But what made it probably the most elaborate funeral that I've ever been to, and how the love, again, for their dad and how to honor him from a distance. So we're there, I mean, multiple of flowers everywhere, and we're there, and the mariachis are playing, and the priest does his part, I do my part. And then from a distance, you see these two, we'll use the term vaqueros, cowboys, dressed in the Mexican garb with the big hat from a ranchero, somebody who works the ranches, but dressed in very elaborate decor. From a distance, you see these two horses, and they're just galloping towards the funeral, and everyone's there. It kind of got us, because it was like, wow. It's like looking back at old times when my uncle would be riding in. And not only did they ride in, but next thing you know, as they're there, then the horses start dancing, or were they prancing? I mean, where they're literally dancing to the beat, to the mariachi music, and that was just really powerful. I know when I come up and share all my personal stories, and you guys just look at me like, you know, it's like, you know, this is my heart, you guys. This is just so weird, and just sharing with you, and why this is so important to me to even share with you now is because as these last year or two in my family, you see, we went a span of 20 plus years within where no one had passed away. No uncles, no aunts. My grandmother was the last, grandfather before her, but then there was this huge span. But these last 2 years, though, we lost my uncle, my godfather last year, and then another aunt. And then the next tier of family, a cousin, that was hard. And then now my uncle again, and it just gets to this place now when we as family just recently have been now connecting with each other, where you haven't seen family 20, 30 years, and the next thing you know, we're connecting again, and then it goes to that place of like, who's next? We're at that age now where family, for whatever reasons, are now seem to be going on, and that embrace of connecting with each other once again, that embrace of wanting to see each other more now. I haven't seen them in 30 years, 20 years, or whatever it may be, but now wanting to be with them, and all of us even having the moments to talk, and to realize that it doesn't matter what we've done in these past years. I just turned 52 a couple days ago, and it doesn't matter what I've done these past 50 plus years. It's the relationships. And it's funny to see us cousins all get together and compare our belt sizes, and, you know, and always looking down and always going, you know, and seeing where we're at and the wrinkles. But you look in their eyes, and as I shared earlier, it's like we pick up where we left off. You know, the Bible doesn't describe heaven to any great detail, other than we know that the streets of gold and the crystal sea and the emeralds and the beauty of it. There's no sun because the Lord in himself is the light. But that's really about it. And we then allow ourselves to go into this extreme of what is it going to be and where is it going to look like and what's it going to be and that whole thing. And I come to realize that it's not as much what's there as much as what's not there. What the Bible really describes. It says there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no tear, that he wipes those tears. That really it's more about heaven is based on even the song. We didn't talk about what songs you were going to play, and again, we're connecting here, and the idea that the presence of the Lord, it's to the place of knowing that I'm going to be with him. It doesn't matter whether it's here or here or here. It's as long as I'm with you. And that's pretty much we realize in settings with our family, it doesn't matter where we're at as long as we're together. It doesn't matter what house we live in or what scenario or what city we're at, as long as we're together. And even for my family that lives in California, we're still together because when we connect, we just pick up right where we left off. We're still together, even though we live separate. But to know and to understand that, Lord, to go and be with you, my uncle raised Catholic. I have another cousin who's been visiting church, and she shared with me an evangelical church, and she's accepted the Lord. And so she's actually the second one that I'm referring to, but she had shared with me, she goes, you know, my dad called out to the Lord. My dad accepted the Lord into his life. He was religious about God all of his life, but he personally connected with God not so long ago. And so that they then had the peace to know and to understand and to know that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so they had this peace, regardless of who he was and what he did and what all that and our past. But when he came to know Christ, that they said, even in that there was a change, and yet God does that in our lives, that there's a change in us. And our lives are no longer the same. The things I desired before, I don't desire anymore. The things of the world that I desired, I don't desire those things. And the things before that I didn't want nothing to do with, but now in God, I desire those things. All things shall pass away. All things become new. You become a new creation in Him. And yet I know and I see this, and I'm believing so much so now as we're coming together, our family, now as we're older, and I see and believe and pray that each one of them will call upon the Lord. And I thank you so much for your prayers for that. A verse that was read by the deacon of the Catholic Church when he was doing the rosary. I then emphasized it more when I spoke. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he stated, and the scripture says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way and the place and where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, very familiar scripture here, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me." When he states this, and it's been repeated then afterwards that he stated this quote, as much as that is offensive today, it was then. It's not offensive to those that believe this. It's offensive to many that believe there are so many ways to get to God and there's so many ways to get to heaven. Many people have this belief that as long as you're good or as long as you believe in a God, there are many that even have a bumper sticker, and I'm not sure if anyone has one out here. But that bumper sticker that shows all the symbols of religion and then the cross at the end, kind of leading into that mindset that all ways and all roads lead to God, or that God is like this wheel and a spoke, and God is in the middle and all the spokes are just different ways to connect to God. We will debate and go on and on and on throughout life as far as who's right, who's wrong. But when I read something like this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let me go back. Verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled." You see, for him to make this statement, he said it because in chapter 12 and 13, it starts leading into, in the setting where he's at, he's in this upper room where he has referred to as the Last Supper. It's this room where they're celebrating Passover. And in there, he has his disciples. And in chapter 12, he starts sharing with them prior to that, "Look, my time is coming to an end as far as being on this earth. And they didn't clearly understand what's going on. He goes, where I'm going to go, you can't go right now, but you will go with me someday. I'm going and preparing a place for you. Now, in the first century culture, when he uses that kind of language, I am going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And when I come back, I'm going to come back for you. You see, we may be confused or puzzled about, okay, what is he talking about? He's going to go to heaven, and some in King James says he's going to prepare a mansion for us. You know, I mean, those of you that love King James, then man, you've got your mansion. Here in reading NIV, it's referring to, in my Father's house are many rooms, whether it's your separate own place. But you see, first century people, they understand what he's talking about here. Because the culture of a marriage, when a husband is preparing to get married, what happens is the husband goes into his father's house and prepares a place for his bride to come. And many times it would be, if the home is large, it would be a room. In other settings, it would be a separate, adjacent to the home, kind of like an in-law's place. Anybody have an in-law's extension on their home? Where guests and visitors can come? It was that concept where when Jesus is saying this, he's saying it to a bunch of men that understand that cultural system that, wait, you're talking about a marriage. You're talking about you're going and preparing a place. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back for you. And many times with the culture, the groom never announced when he was going to come back. Many times it was at night. But when he came back unexpectedly. But when he showed up, he made a big announcement because there was a trumpet blown. There was things like, the prince is here. He's here to take the bride. There's other portions of scripture that talk about this. But when these disciples are in the upper room, right before Jesus is about to wash their feet, he comes to this place where they realize he's talking about a marriage. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to come back for you. And if I say I'm going to come back for you, I'm going to come back for you. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And where I go and prepare this place, you are going to join me there. To have the hope and the understanding of knowing that life doesn't just end here on this earth. If we truly say we believe in the words of God and we know that his words are true and we say that God is not a liar, man is a liar, let God be the truth. That God be one that shares the word of God, his word with us. He shares the heart of the Father. He says, I don't say anything, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do this. So what I am sharing with you, he goes, I didn't even come into the world to judge the world. He repeats that in John 3:17. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn, but the world will be saved through him. Here, in chapter 12, he emphasizes that again. I'm not to be the judge. That will be for later. I'm not here to be your judge, but I'm here to hope that you would be saved. And he's telling them this, that I'm going to be leaving. Now, these men had given 3.5 years of their life to him. These men had dedicated themselves to following him, leaving everything aside. And for someone, the leader, to say, hey, I'm leaving. There's a sense of fear, of question, of wondering what's going to happen. What are you talking about? We don't understand. Where are you going? And we get Thomas, who's just so out there, and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Let me continue reading, verse 7. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip then said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verse 12. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me and will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." I was praying about what I was going to share today. Yes, it makes sense in my life to share this, because this is what's on my heart, especially dealing with the burial of my uncle. But my friends, this is beyond the idea of trying to emphasize and prove a point that Jesus is the way. I believe all of us here may be at that place where we've all accepted that. We believe that. It's like preaching to the choir. But what I'm sharing with you is a little bit beyond the idea of salvation. I'm sharing with you basically of a song that we just sang here is about going to this place, to this room, to this mansion, to this place to be with the Lord. Is it the goal, the idea that we is to get to heaven and just get there? Or is it really understanding the joy of who you are here on earth right now? You see, when you accept Christ into your life changes. That your citizenship is no longer of this earth when Christ comes into your life. Your citizenship is already of heaven. We, the Bible says, are strangers to this land now. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims in this land. Our job here is to pursue ongoing to get to where our citizenship belongs, and that is to get to heaven. So many people have this idea, I just want to make it. But they lose out on everything about what it means to be on the journey. If we're on this journey, our journey here, meaning that if God be with us, who could be against us? And understanding that, yes, life on earth is not perfect. Life on earth may be a series of headaches and even migraine headaches. Big problems, big issues. But to know that I could have peace where I'm at right now, and I could walk in this walk with God right now, and I could have the joy of the Lord in my life right now, and I could live an abundant life here on earth right now. Not just an eternal one, but an abundant one. And to know and to understand that no matter what comes against me, I can stand in that time of trouble. And I don't have to fail. I don't have to fall. I don't have to pout. I don't have to feel discouraged. I don't have to even complain. Because God, I know, is the one in charge of everything that's going on in my life. If I could put myself now in believing, okay, God, I know I'm going to get to heaven. Because, Lord, the acceptance of you in my life, you have been one to save me. You're the one that paid the price. You say, truly, you are the only way to get to heaven. I believe that. But now do I believe that Jesus walked with me now, today? It's not that I'm going to see him one day, but he's with me right now. Because he says it here. He goes, do you want to prove this? Ask anything in my name. If you really believe this, ask in my name. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. If you want something, ask it. He's not kind of like, just like, well, you know, if you don't believe, you don't believe. No, he's literally saying it. Triple dog dare you. Ask anything in my name. And is it to the place, again, where we're looking at God or Jesus as a genie, rub our Bible three times and boom, well, what do you want? What do you need? No, it's the understanding that who you are more than a conqueror in him here on earth now. When I shared earlier the idea of that, oh man, the stubbornness of some. Stubbornness of friends and loved ones. It isn't that the idea they don't believe in religion or they don't even believe in God. They don't believe that he could be with them right now. And that their life can change right now. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding could be with you right now. They might say, well, I believe that. But do you walk in it? He's asking here, act upon it. Oh, you guys don't get this. I could see it in you. You're looking at me. Maybe I'm not saying this. Or I'll say it in Spanish. Okay. Maybe you guys, I know there's some here that will understand. Let me say this again. Verse 12. Very truly, I tell you. Okay, let me stop right there. The fact that he's emphasizing twice here in English language, he's putting it twice. He's saying, verily, truly, or verily, verily, or truly, truly. You might say, why is he redundant? Because here he's emphasizing a point. in our English language, we'll put like an exclamation point. Here in the Jewish culture, they, when they emphasize a word twice, even more so three times, there is a strong emphasis, like, come on, you guys. Okay, let me just an example. When you tell your kid when they're doing something, no. You know, that second, no. That's a little more high intense. That's a little more, okay, oh, you didn't really mean this. Because sometimes we don't get it on the one no. We have to go, no. You know, whatever. Here, this is what he's getting at. This is intense. He's talking about, I am the way that, and these guys are, they're lost. They're puzzled. I know what Jesus is talking about. You know, they're just kind of looking like, what are you talking about? Verily, truly, so many different passages how you read that. I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do them greater things than these. Greater things than what Jesus did? Okay, what was he talking about? He says, verily, verily, truly, truly, and all that. I'm telling you, if you believe that I am he, then you'll even do greater things than me. But not because of you, but because of my name. The name that is above all names. The names that the Bible says that the demons tremble even in the mentioning of the name of Jesus. Do you believe in who you are walking with? Do you believe in who you say you believe in? That sounds weird to say that, right? Do you believe in what you believe? Do you really believe what you believe? And here he's emphasizing, do you? Now, I'm challenging you, he's saying. I'm challenging you. You could do even greater things than what I've done. What did he do, though? He says, if anything, if you don't even believe what I'm saying, then the proof of the works of what I've done should show you that I'm he. I'm the one. And he says, what have I done? Let's look back for those of us in our Bible school mentality and knowledge, and what has he done? Miracles, signs, and wonders? We know that. Does that mean then you can't be used in that way? I have the pleasure throughout these past 8 years to go from ministering every Sunday in a different church. And guys, I mean this when I say this about this church. I look forward to coming when I can. Now, it isn't the idea because I can preach. Yeah, I love to preach, but it's not that. It's because this is one of the only churches that I know of that takes the time in a Sunday morning service to ask for prayer requests and actually pray. Or to hear a testimony and let people be encouraged by the words of what God is doing. This is huge. And some may say, well, it's because you're a smaller congregation and you could do that. But in the bigger ones, you can't do that. Regardless, the idea that we do it, though, it is huge. And I commend you guys in your heart for just hearing one another, bearing one another's burdens, submitting yourself one unto another as iron sharpening iron. We're sharpening each other to look, oh, God, you did a miracle over here. We're hearing the testimony of someone being touched or someone being saved or someone being healed. Powerful. So what has God done? It's so easy sometimes we forget many times who he is and what he's done in our lives. But he says, you know what? Even the things that I have done, you could even do. Now, I know some of you are going to go home and try to walk on water. And it's like, well, you know, the Bible says. Well, let's start with other things. Maybe just believing that God will supply all your needs. That maybe believing that when you lay hands on the sick, that they're going to be healed. That when you pray for someone that's discouraged, that through your prayer, God using you as a vessel, as an instrument, God being a part of your life, and through you, that others will be touched around you. And understanding and believing that the blessings of God are not meant to go to me, they're meant to go through me. But I'm just an instrument. I'm just a vessel. That's what Jesus was depicting here. He goes, I am just doing what the Father told me to do. I'm just allowing what God wants to share. He goes, if you want to see the Father, look at me. You know, Paul even said that. He says, if you want to see someone, a depiction of God, he says, Look at my example. Are we willing to say that? You want to see God? Look at my example. When we become Christians and we live a life for God, we literally move into a fishbowl and with no shame and no regret. That we know that everything, you can look at every part of my life. Look at it. Am I perfect? No. But I'm not hiding anything. I'm free. You can look. Now, are we willing to say to people that we're trying to witness to, our neighbors next door, our family members, I'm going to be an example of Jesus to you? And, well, who's Jesus? Well, look at what he's done in me. Your testimonies, my friend, are so powerful. In Revelations, it clearly says how they're going to be won over by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and loving your life not even unto death. How are your family going to be won? How is your friends going to be won? How are people going to be won around you? Yes, you talk about Jesus, you talk about what he's done for you, and you're willing to die for it. Here he says in chapter 12 again, he says, unless the grain or a seed falls to the ground and dies, if it doesn't do that, it stays a grain, it stays that seed. But if it dies, then it produces. And you and I, as we understand Scripture, we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That we are to die to ourselves. When we die to ourselves and let Christ actually, God, use me, miracles, signs, and wonders, and beautiful things are going to start taking place in your life and around this world. And around your world. Someone may ask, so how was church? Oh, yeah, Pastor Alfred preached. What did he preach about? I don't know. But he talked about Jesus. That's all that matters to me, guys. I know I have a tendency to go on and ramble. I will close in prayer right now. I want to finish this last portion here. I feel like today I'm just pouring from my heart. A lot of people ask me all the time, why do you keep going? Why? I just think back of if that 65-year-old man would have not come into my neighborhood. God got his heart and he went into my neighborhood and he reached us. Reach my family. Led me to the Lord in my living room. I feel I owe it. There are people that I know I can reach, but I got to die to myself and die to what I want and die and say, Lord, I don't want anything but you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God, I just want you. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for my friends, my family here. Lord, I know we have first-time visitors, and I thank you, God, that you guided them here today. Lord, I pray for all of us, God, and even the 30-plus that are not able to be here today because they're traveling, vacations, wherever. Be with them, God, as we've prayed already. But Lord, help us right now in this time that we, when we think about heaven, because it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. There's scary times going on right now. There are tough times and financially, our country, the world, the wars, the rumors of wars. God, we don't want to be ones that are running in fear. So my heart, Lord, right now, bring peace. My friend, you ask God for that. Lord, bring peace to my heart right now, that my heart will not be troubled. As I love God and trust in God, Lord, I trust in you. And God, I see God through you, Jesus. I see God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And thank you, Lord, for giving me and empowering me with the ability to even do greater works, greater things. And God, I know that word greater doesn't necessarily mean bigger and better. It means more. Your time here on earth was 3.5 years. Lord, our time here now, knowing you, have been 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We can do more things in your name, Lord. Therefore, greater. We just are active every day, proactive for you. Use us as a vessel, as an instrument. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing wherever we go. And so, Lord, when fear wants to creep in, we look to you. And we see the Father. I know, Lord, heaven's waiting. I know that time will come when we'll be in your presence. And Lord, I'm singing about it now, because you're present with me now. Thank you. We praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen.